this meeting today, which I would not like any of us to miss out from. Amen.
Amen.
God has started with this house, dealing with us, healing us in different ways, healing our infirmities physically, and then healing our spirits, healing our hearts. It's good that we are starting afresh. It's good that it's a new beginning. It's good that it's another Kadash. But much more than that, you know, there is this part of you too that must be new, so to speak, to flow into that newness and live to the fullness of what God has in mind for you. And thank God for the song that we just sang. I will read, now as I was preparing for this meeting, I stumbled on a short poem I wrote some times ago, titled it In His Presence. I will read it and we'll take a song and then we'll get into the message. Amen. It's titled In His Presence. It says, in His presence, where burdens are lifted and authorities are shifted, we are still standing, please. Where protocols are dissolved and conflicts are resolved. Where sicknesses disappear and strength with grace reappears. Where the Spirit gives a call and the giants of our lives do fall. Where the angels range and stories change. Where the truth unveils and life over death prevails. Where wisdom unfolds in the midst of riches untold. Where ugification is rejected and beauty becomes perfected. Where the map of our lives becomes clearer and the horizon we see becomes broader. Come with me to the fountain of joy. Come with me to the haven of peace. Come with me to the abode of righteousness. Welcome to His presence. Amen.
Amen.
And I'd like us to take a song and have that mindset of you are in the presence of God. Just have that. If you have not really had an expectation, I want you to have it now. Because I believe it's going to be an encounter with the presence of God today. An encounter with the presence of God. An encounter with the presence of God. And I want us to just have that right heart so that we won't miss out. It's a sacred time. It's a sacred heart. And I want you to be in tune. Amen.
Amen.
The song says, Lord, I want to see your glory. It says, I want to offer the sacrifice of praise. Then it says, fill this temple now with your spirit once again. I want to offer the
sacrifice of praise.
Feel this temple now.
Feel this temple. Feel your spirit once again.
Oh, Lord, I want to see.
I want to see
your glory.
Your glory.
I want to offer.
Spirit, Father. Pour out your light. Pour out your love. Pour out your grace. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, Father. Let it rain, Father. Anointing boy over me, over my head too. You have the power of the Lord, Lord, I pray. Anointing boy over me, over my head too. Power of the Lord, oh Lord, I pray. Father and our God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the gates that are open. We lift up our holy hands to the Lamb. We lift up our holy hands unto the Lamb. For these gates that have been opened. The gates are broken. The bars of iron are cut asunder. And there is an unlimited right of access to your presence. We appreciate you for this, Father. Continue with us in this flow, Father. And let your word come alive in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. We worship you because it is God. Speak, Father, and let us listen. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Put us together for the Lord and have your seats in his presence. Say to your neighbor, say, welcome to his presence. So you can say, welcome to his presence. Amen. I'd like us to open our Bible to the book of Judges. And then the first song we took says, the Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to offer the sacrifice of praise. Then it says, you should fill this temple now. Fill this temple, Lord. Fill this temple this minute. With your spirit once again. And I don't talk so much about how that our bodies is the temple of the Spirit of God. Amen. I don't know what your walk in the last week was like with God and with men. But sincerely, I want to believe, of course, I had reasons to ask people in the course of the week, and I know people have been enjoying an unusual peace in their hearts. Amen. And you are still left out in that communion. There's still another opportunity to tap into it this time. It's a new start, I said. And there's that peace that God is giving this time. It says, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. And the Lord was just dealing with me in the course of the week as regards why some people might still not why some people might still not, you know, keen to the flow and enjoy that peace. Enjoy that shalom. Amen. And enjoy that package that God has given this time. And it was opening my eyes to see how that
of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, and I and all were with me, let me also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp,
and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Akasiath towards Zerah, and as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabath.
Amen. I know the story that we know very well, but perhaps we've not been so conversant with this part of the story. Now this is the story of Gideon. Amen. Gideon, Bible called him a mighty man of valor. I'd just like to give a short backdrop to the message so that we understand where we are going. I want to get us to a place, or we're trusting God to get us to a place by virtue of the words we'll be hearing today, whereby, you know, you can easily show forth that light of God within you. Amen. Now, I was saying at a meeting I had last night, and that in the course of the week, I think on Wednesday, I was coming from town, and I boarded the bus, of course, from where I went to, and I was coming to town. And I like this sister entered, a Muslim sister. She was in hijab. Amen. Amen. Well veiled. She was almost an elea, but I can see her face. And I was sitting in front, so she sat beside me. I opened the door, I entered inside so that she came in and she sat down. And she brought out her phone and she was trying to call somebody. And I knew she didn't have credit because she was actually flashing that number, perhaps with the expectation that the person would call back. Amen. And like many of you, the person flashed back instead of calling back. Amen. She thought it was a call, so she picked it and she was, hello, and the thing went, it won't flash. Amen. And I was smiling where I was. And you know, when I was calling, I left the house that day, I met someone on the road that gave me a 200 naira recharge card. So I was like, okay, let me begin to sew with that 200 naira recharge card. And I looked at her, I said, you are trying to call someone. She said, yes, but it seems the person doesn't have credit. She's trying to flash the person to call back. I said, can you use my phone? Then she looked at my face a second time to be sure that she's in the same hands. And then she was like, thank you. Then she collected the phone. She said the number she wanted to call was a glow line. So I gave her my glow phone. And she made the call. Then she returned the phone and she was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. She was saying thank you repeatedly. I was like, kotoko. And we continued. Amen. And I got the campus gate and it was time to start paying. And she bought that 500 naira note. And the driver was like, where do you expect me to find change? And I bought that 100 naira and I gave the driver. I paid for her, I paid for myself. She was coming to somewhere in local government. So when we entered campus, she was looking at my face as if, do I know you somewhere? And I just kept my eyes straight. Amen. And I was just coming. Then she was boiling within her. She really wanted to know what's happening. And you know, these ladies, when one guy starts showing some kind of level of kindness, you tend to think something is happening, even when nothing is happening. Amen. So to assuage what was on my mind, she asked. And I liked the way she asked the question. She looked at me and asked me. She said, why are you doing what you are doing? And of course, thank God for the wisdom of God. I gave her the best answer I could have given. I said, I did it because of Jesus. And she looked at me and the kind of look changed. Then she brought out her phone and she was just playing with the phone. And she was just looking at me one kind like that. And I don't mind. And eventually when she got down at local government, she looked back and she said, thank you very much. And I said, thank you, you're welcome. And she left. But that singular word, I did it because of Jesus, for a lady in a job. I knew that it will mean a lot to her. Amen. Amen. Then she will have that understanding that, okay, perhaps this Jesus. And of course, that's what the whole thing about being a Christian is all about. Giving in love, not giving because you're expecting something in return. Amen. You are not paying a lady you met inside the bus. You are not paying the transport fare because you are going to collect a number and start something that is not godly. Amen. And you know, I was happy because I blessed someone's life. And throughout that day, there was this joy that was in my heart throughout the day. There was just that joy that came. And I wish everybody could be enjoying that kind of peace every day. And I was just, asking God and things like that. Why some people, some people just come to fellowship. Many of us were dancing earlier today. And some were just looking somehow. And I was coming from my room this morning. A lady was going ahead of me. And you need to see the way she was walking. I knew she was going to fellowship because she dressed. She was looking nice. But she was dragging her feet as if they are forcing her to go to where she was going. Amen. I mean, you are going to a place where people are coming together to bless your daddy. To bless that God that I am. That God that does not change. Amen. You are going to worship God together somewhere and you are going as if they are forcing you. She was just dragging her feet with one kind of look on her face. No matter what the situation is, David said, I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I met someone in the course of the week and I was asking, where are you going? He said, he's going to where I'm coming from. He thought I was coming from Nembo to come and play, of which I was coming from Spoto. Because I was reading a Bible and so he thought I was coming from Mingo. But I was like, I was just asking myself, why don't you say it? I'm going to pray in sports. You know, sometimes you just tend to hide some of those things on so that people will not look at us as if we are too spiritual. You are going to enjoy your daddy, have sweet communion with God, and then you are using parables to cover it up. What's the point? Amen. Amen. Let people know what you stand for and stand for it. Now in this passage we read, about Gideon. Here's the man that the Bible called him, God said, when I was going to meet him at first, he called him the mighty man of valor. Amen. But read that passage very well, you know that he's not a mighty man in the real sense of it, literally speaking. Because then, the Bible says he was threshing at the wine press, and the Lord came unto him, the angel of the Lord. Amen. Now, the wine press is always at the bottom of the valley. That's where they bring the grapes and all that when they harvest. And then they come, they do the wine pressing and all that. Then afterwards, they do the threshing on top of the hill. Amen. Because they need wind to blow the chaff away and things like that to do the threshing. But you know, he was so afraid. Then the Midianites were in charge of the Israelites. They were the one that was real. If you read through the book of Judges, the account is always that of remember God to them. God will raise a deliverer for them. Afterwards, they forget God. God will send them into slavery again. And then they remember God again and things like that. That was like the cycle in the book of Judges. And at this time, they were under the slavery of the Midianites. And you know, he was so afraid to go to the mountaintop to do the threshing as it was meant to be done. So he was doing the threshing in the wine press, of which there was not going to be enough air to do the blowing of the chaff away. Amen. So it was that. He was a coward, so to speak. He was shy. And then God came and met him. And God called him the mighty man of valor. Why? Because when God saw him, he saw the investment that he has made in him. He saw the deposit he has made in him. And he knew there was more to this man than this shy boy that he had becoming. And the Lord began to deal with him. You know, he was testing God in various ways just to be sure. And the Lord kept on, dealing with him. Giving him everything he asked for. Every sign he asked for was getting responses. Until he came to that point where he knew that, no, this battle is not actually mine. This battle is the Lord's. Amen. The battle was not his. He came to that end of himself. Of course, when we are going to face the Midianites, the Bible was said about the Midianites in chapter 6, that the number of their camels alone cannot be counted, let alone the people themselves. And then you're going to fight such a people and God is telling you it's just 300. You know, it's insane. Amen. Amen. And then God brought them together after the test he gave them at the river and all that. And there were 300 men. And the Bible says that Gideon divided them into three. And he put some three things in their hands. The Bible says he put a trumpet, that's verse 16, Judges chapter 7, in every man's hand with empty pitchers. And with lamps within those pitchers. Amen. And then those were the things they were going to use for battle. Then they went and he told them, do as I do and things like that. When I blow the trumpet, blow yours and shout, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. They didn't even have a sword. Amen. They didn't go to the battle with a sword. But then the beauty of it all was that, in verse 20, it says, and the three companies blew the trumpets. and they break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now there was light within those pitchers. They veiled those lights, just like I said, God bless. So many people have veiled the treasure locked up within them. Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of it might be of God. Amen. There's a treasure within you. There is a beauty within you. We talked so much about that last week. And for you to actually show forth that treasure or show forth that light, there must be a breaking of that picture. That's why the title of this message is The Broken Picture. Amen. Amen. So for those that have been waiting for title, sorry, I have not mentioned title. The Broken Picture. Hallelujah. And you know, God led me to the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 2. How that God met with him. Okay, chapter 3, I think. God met with him while he was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And says he came onto that mountain of God. And then he saw the bush that was burning. Then he said to himself, I will turn now to see. And Bible says, as he turned to see, then the Lord spoke out of that flame. And the Lord began to tell him the things he will have him do. But you know, let's open to that place, Exodus chapter 3. He was very reluctant. Very reluctant. God was going to make him the deliverer of his people. Okay, Exodus chapter 4, not chapter 3. God was going to make him the deliverer of his people, but yet he was reluctant. And Bible says in chapter 4, okay, let's go to chapter 3. We're still coming back to chapter 4. The way story started from 3. Verse 3 in chapter 3 says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from amidst the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then God began to tell him the things he would have him do. Now in chapter 4 verse 1, we saw how that he began to object to what God said. He says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? The Lord began to show him signs, just like he did for Gideon. He told him how to convert the rod to a snake and how to return it back to a rod. He gave him another sign. He said he should put his hand inside his bosom. And when he brought it back, it was leprous. And then he told him to take it back and do it again, and the hand was whole again. And the Lord also told him that if they will not believe those two signs, then this third sign I give you is that take water and pour it on the ground, and that water will turn to blood. Amen. Amen. You're going somewhere. Don't be distracted. You know, you could be boring telling history sometimes. But just get the power behind those words. Hallelujah. And then, after God said all that, then he went further and gave another objection. He said he's a man of inhibited speaking. Let's read verse 10 of chapter 4. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now he didn't stop there. He went on in verse 13 and he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else that you may send. Now God is trusting that he would appear in these generations as children of light. Amen. We are saying in Philippians chapter 2 verse 14 to 15 says that you may be do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Amen. That is God's expectation for you and I. You are meant to be, of course, we know the situation of the land, of the nation, everywhere it looks perverse and crooked. But even in that darkness, you are meant to shine forth as lights. Amen. But here is someone that God is given that responsibility. Go and lead my people, shine forth as a light to them, and let them be delivered to come and worship me. And he said, send another person. The first excuse he gave was about his own belief. It was something of the heart. It was something of the heart. He was telling God, what if they do not believe that he sent me? That means he himself is actually having a doubt in his heart. Amen. And then the second excuse he gave was about his speech. Amen. It was about his speech. He said, I'm not eloquent in words. And you know, God just dropped those two things in my heart just when we started the service today. Now, you know, many people's hearts are not right. And of course, it's affecting your speech. Amen. Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I know many people saw some results in the course of the week. I was actually thinking we're going to come and, you know, talk and encourage ourselves and all that about our academics. But God will have you be broken first. Be broken. Break that pitcher and let the glory of God be seen. Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I mean Romans chapter 12, but you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's the temple we've been singing, that the glory of God should feel. It should feel it. Amen. Amen. So back to this man's story. God was expecting him to shine forth as light, and is wanting him to send another person. Of which God did not. God did send someone to assist him, but not a replacement entirely. But I doubt if it was actually in God's agenda for Aaron to assist Moses in the first instance. Not until he came to that place, and God was telling him, am I not the one that made the mouth? Am I not the one that does this? I will fill your mouth. But then he yet went on and said, send another person. And God said, okay, you have a brother. He will be a mouth unto you, and you shall be to him as a God. Amen. Now the question is, what have you been speaking and saying? But much more, what is in your heart? What is the status of your heart? Someone sent a text to me during the week that she wants to see me and all that about academics and all that. I didn't know it was about academics, not until we saw. And, you know, she was crying and talking about the result and F and things like that. And now began to talk and talk and talk, and we got talking for so long. But, you know, the beauty of it is that whatever you are passing through now, amen, something just came to my heart. We've been talking about breaking, and Bible says somewhere in Psalms, it says a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, thou shalt not despise. But you know, there are two dimensions to a heart being broken. Bible was saying in Proverbs, I think Proverbs 17, maybe 24, that a joyful heart doeth good like medicine. It says, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Now that's the kind of a broken spirit. That the spirit was broken, the heart was broken by virtue of what was hurt, or the circumstances around, and that heart was broken. But there's another kind of a broken spirit which God will not despise. It's a broken heart that is, the heart is being broken for the sake of, you know, you bust it, so to speak, for that which God has locked within it to come out. Amen. When your spirit is broken, you come to the end of yourself. When your spirit is broken, you are not mindful, as it were, of, you are not important again. When a jar is broken, or when a calabash is broken, it becomes, as it were, not of a value, literally. So when you break your heart, as it were, before God, you are coming to the end of your own importance, and you are trusting God to unveil that which He locked inside you. Amen. 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 So what is the status of your heart? God wants to walk upon that heart today. He wants to heal that heart so that the words that you speak, because, you know, many people have made so many kind of declarations. Sometimes you were joking and just said some things. Sometimes, you know, it was based on the things that were happening, and you just wondered. Now, I was telling about my mom last week, and, you know, when everything started, later on she was saying that, you know, she was already saying in her mouth that, can't say a joking, she already gonna making toku and things like that. I was like, how can you be thinking of that in your heart? Amen. Because there is a power that comes upon everything you meditate upon in your heart. Bible says, guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23, with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Out of that heart flows the issues of life. And there are lots of issues of life, my brother, and they start from there. But Bible was saying in 2 Corinthians 10, I think verse 5, says, casting down all imagination and every height that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. You have to just take those thoughts captive. But by virtue of the things you've seen, very many times you've said some things. Sometimes you're joking, and, you know, maybe someone was calling you away, and you're like, I want class, and things like that. You are limiting yourself by the virtue of the words you speak, because the heart has not been well equipped enough to know the kind of spirit of excellence that you carry. Amen. But when you break that heart for God to unveil what He works inside, that is where we are going. That is when indeed the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Revealed. Revelation has to do with something that has been concealed. Now it is being made known. Now it is being shown to the world. So there is definitely a need for some unveiling. There's definitely a need for, in the Bible, it was about the temple veil cutting apart such that they can see what happens in the Holy of Holies. Definitely in your case, there has to be a kind of, there must be something you have to tear apart for that glory to come forth. Some of us are just, we are full of ourselves. We believe we can just do it on our own and all that, and it is limiting us and restricting us from getting to the fullness of what God has in mind for us. I was like that, part one, part two. I believe kind of in my heart that I will always pass. I don't really need to go and ask somebody, even when there are things I don't understand in class. I believe that when I will read it and I will understand it and I'll pass. Amen. And you know, it got to a time that indeed, of course, I think part two, first semester, I came to the end of myself and I knew that no, here's a journey that we need people to walk that journey together. Amen. There are different issues like that, but it circumnavigates around our hearts. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. What are you saying? I can remember last December, Pastor Fela already preached the message. He says, whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe? And F doesn't make you a failure. Amen. It can't. It shouldn't. It won't. If you won't let it. Because you are not a failure because you failed a course. You are a failure if you refuse to rally around and come back to do that which God will have you do because of what has happened to you. Amen. The Lord bless our hearts in Jesus' name. But I just want you to ask yourself, what is that thing that, you know, I have to drop? Now, we read in this place out that Gideon, you know, won the battle with God. You know, he said the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And there was a great victory that day. But if you read further, let's still go to that book of Judges. I want us to read some two more verses. This same Gideon that, you know, God dealt with so much. And he wrought a lot of wonders. He had a weakness. He had a silent chapter in his life. And the silent chapter came back to destroy virtually almost everything he labored for in life. In chapter 8 verse 31, I think. Yeah. Chapter 8 verse 31. I'll read from here. Then we'll read some verses in chapter 9. Bible says, and his concubine, talking about Gideon. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. Now, Gideon had a concubine. Now, let's go to Judges chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. Chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. I'm reading from God's word. It says, Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal. Jerubbaal is the name God called Gideon at the time when he pulled down the altars of Baal. Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal or Gideon, went to Shechem to see the uncles on his mother's side of the family. He spoke to them and his mother's whole family. He said, please ask all citizens of Shechem, what seems best to you? Do you really want all of Jerubbaal's 70 sons? Now Gideon had 70 sons only. To rule you, or just one man? Remember, I'm your own flesh and blood. And his uncles repeated everything he said to all the citizens of Shechem. They were persuaded to follow Abimelech because he was their relative. Verse 4, so they gave him 70 pieces of silver from the temple of Baal Berith. Now, another idol coming up again. With the silver, Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men to follow him. Then he went to his father's home in Hophra. There he executed his 70 brothers, Jerubbaal's sons, but Jotham, Jerubbaal's youngest son, survived because he hid. All the citizens from Shechem and Beth Millet united. They went to the oak tree that was still standing in Shechem and proclaimed Abimelech the king. Now we saw just one seed that was given back by a concubine somewhere. And he came and he killed all of, do you think it's easy to give that to just one person, let alone 70? Amen. Do you know how, he must have been a strong one indeed, a mighty man of valor, hallelujah. A mighty man of valor, 70 sons. I know they were silent about daughters, there must have been daughters as well. And then someone just came, a product of an unchecked life. You know, all this time that God was dealing with Gideon, that means there was this part of his life that he left out untouched. He restricted God from touching it. was just like, just lead me to this path. Let me still go on and have this concubine. And God was, you know, empowering him, bringing him to a point where he can trust him and do all that. And he was following God in all of those things. But that part, no. Said, not God. And then just one offspring of his, Abimelech, the offspring of a concubine, he came and he killed all the 70 sons except Jotham, the last one. He killed all of them, as in all of them. Now, Gideon is there before he did that. But this was what he could show forth for what he has done before he left. Besides the winning the battle and judging Israel, they just gave birth to 70 sons, and all of them were killed by one man, one worthless, useless man like that. Amen. How many of us have studied the book of Esther? Praise the Lord. How many of you have heard of Aman? Aman. Have you heard of Aman before? Amen. Bible called Aman the Agagite. Hallelujah. And if you read very well, you discover that that guy, that man, Aman, for him to still be in existence then, if you read the story of 1 Samuel very well, you discover there was a time God told Saul to go and kill the people of Agag and make sure that nobody was spared, even not their cattle, not their sheep. Nothing should be spared. Everything should be destroyed. But Bible says that Saul spared their king, you know, got some cattle and things like that, and then the king's wife. And Samuel came unto him and told him, why did you disobey and things like that? And he said, have I not done what your God said I should do? And Samuel told him, what of all this sound of sheep and cows and things that I'm hearing? And Bible says Samuel drew his sword. He went inside and he killed the king. But the wife of the king, the queen, escaped and she was pregnant. Amen. Now that only woman that escaped went on and of course gave birth to a son. And perhaps gave birth to another set of people. And eventually we had one Aman the Agagite. Because one king was useless enough to spare what should not be spared. Amen. One king was careless enough to spare what God has said should be destroyed. That is why I said we need a breaking in this place. We need to come to that point where God will himself walk upon us to get us to depart with those things he wants us to depart with. And then come to the knowledge of him. We are growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. But there is that need for a breaking. There is that need for you to depart from some things. There are some things you have to part with for the glory of God within you to come to the full manifestation. For Gideon, it was some little fornication and adultery that made him look onto one concubine somewhere, and the concubine came back and destroyed everything he worked for. For Saul, it was just that careless attitude of covetousness. I wonder what he was even going to do with a pregnant woman. Pregnant women are not always fine now. Amen. At least for that time, until they deliver. Yes, now. Amen. The stomach could be scary sometimes. Amen. You will not give birth. You will not marry. And your wife will be pregnant. So, then let's talk too bad about them. Now, I've one wonder that everybody in this world was born by a woman. Some woman somewhere. You know, those people are meant to be. The Lord bless our hearts in Jesus' name. God bless you, sisters. And I pray you become great mothers in the name of Jesus. Great, great, great mothers, virtuous ladies in the name of Jesus. You need to just, you know, once in a while, just pray for your mom and thank God for her life. Especially for mothers like mine that did quite a number. Amen, you know. When you hear some some families that they almost have a football team, you understand. Hallelujah. So, there is that part of you. By now, I believe you should begin to ask yourself what that thing is that you want God to deal with in your life. What that thing is that you want God to break and remove. Amen. Amen. There is that need, there is that urgent need for a breaking, for you to come to the fullness of that shining. You know, Gideon was, if you have not read that part of Gideon's life, Gideon was a good man. Gideon was a great man. In fact, in Hebrews 11, he was listed among the heroes of our faith. Amen. He did everything fine, and you could just continue in life like that, coasting along and thinking all is good. But if there is that unweeded weed that should have been weeded that you leave unweeded, it will still come one day to sprout and, you know, choke the real plants that God is planting in your life. That is when you can get the hand, become who He wants you to be. That is when your light will so shine that all men will see your good works and they will give glory to your Father in heaven. It doesn't come by mere coming to fellowship and dancing and dancing. You can be dancing and dancing and you'll just be looking at, how I wish you could be dancing like this, but with the right heart. Proverbs 16, to all of a man's way, seemeth good unto him. But God judges the motive. He judges the motive. He looks deep. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? Maybe this message could also have been better titled, The Heart and Mouth Disease. Amen. Amen. Because it is the heart that will now determine what you speak. And it's your words, you know, that leads to the kind of things you think about, the kind of things you do, your habits, you know, and your character, and gradually shaping your destiny. You shape your future with your mouth. Amen. But if the heart is not right, then whatever you speak is going to be battered out of that corruption in the heart. Even when you pray, and God even detests it. Amen. He detests the prayers of, you know, people whose hearts are not right. He detests it. He needs a right heart, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Thou, O Lord, shall not despise. That is when that glory comes and it blooms, and everybody will see it. It's been, you know, a burden in my heart to see a household, not just tax fund, as in the church coming to that place when they can really take their stand and show forth the light of Jesus. It's the light of the world, and we're meant to shine forth as light as well. Amen. 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 But it needs to break you. Has it broken you? For the torches within, or the lamps within the pitcher to be seen. Bible says, and they all broke the pitchers, and then we saw the light. They have veiled it that far so that the Midianites perhaps will not know that they are coming. But when it was time for them to show the darkness that was pervading them, to show the Midianites that we have a God, then they exposed that light by breaking the pitchers. That pitcher of yours must be broken. And when it is broken, then comes this transforming. That we were saying in that Romans 12, the second verse says, be not conformed to this world, but being transformed. After you presented your body as a living sacrifice, you know, holy and acceptable, then you are not being conformed to the world, but you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, daily, every time, you are picking your cross and you are following him. You are beholding him. You are doing what he wants you to do, and you are following him. Even when it has to do with you going through some persecutions. Amen. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Amen. So it's about some three things. About you being who he wants you to be. It's about him, you doing what he wants you to do, and you actually sharing in his sufferings. Because he said later that those that share in the suffering, the same shall share in his glory. Amen. Amen. You only be like the person you are always with. You are beholding in the mirror. You are being transformed. You are being transformed from one level of glory to another. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You are. Bible says, he was talking of the disciples. I think Mark 9:4. He said, they have called you to be with me, that I can send you out. Amen. It's first of all about you being with him. Let him break you. He says, take my yoke upon you.
Amen.
He will make some demands over your life, but it's all for good. He said, take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. Amen. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I will say in Lamentations chapter 3 verse 27, it is good for a youth to bear that yoke now while you are still a youth. There might not be a better time. There will not be a better time. John chapter 9 verse 4, walk while it is day. The night is coming. No man shall walk. This is the best opportunity you have to invest your life, so to speak. Sell out your life, sold out unto God. That song says, I'm a fool before Christ. You know, Paul was saying that you Corinthians, you look at us as fools. And indeed, many people will look at you and they'll be like, you don't have common sense. You are having this and this and that and that, and you can still go to fellowship. You have three gifts, and you are still going to one choir, the other, and things like that. You're a fool. They can call you the fools that they want to. But the truth is, the time is coming, and now is that time when indeed that glory will be revealed. And the same people that call you fools will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So be foolish could be a compliment. Don't mind what people, don't be moved by what people say. Don't be moved by what the reactions they give to you. You know, there are some rooms that you dwell in, and you know, people just, they just look at you one kind, they don't understand. But it's meant for them not to understand, because they don't have your password. And when the time comes for them to have access into your archives, and then they see, wow, so there's a beauty in this person. Amen. Lord, we open our hearts in Jesus' name. We'll take time to pray and trust God for that breaking. But there is something that is very, very important or pivotal, as it were, to you growing in grace and in the knowledge of God. I was in a program on Friday, and we're talking about steadfastness. I gave this steadfastness a definition that I will share with us, and I'll say some one or two things, and then we'll rise up to pray. Thank God for Bible study on Wednesday. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I define steadfastness as continuing to remember to abide. Amen. Continuing to remember to abide. And that's one of the secrets of, you know, someone was asking me yesterday, one of my roommates said, what's the secret to spiritual growth? And I said, it's all about you continuing. Amen. There have been times that, like all of these heroes of our faith, that still had a weakness in their lives. There will be times that you fall. There will be times that your David will be healed of Bathsheba. But Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 16, the righteous shall fall 7 times, and 7 times it shall rise again. But that is not a license for you to keep falling. Amen. Samson kept falling, and you know, by the time he fell 3 times on the same spot, it was too late. Amen. It was too late to progress. That's why you have to read all those words now. You continue. You continue to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, and you continue to abide in His presence. You can't talk about the glory of God without talking of being continually in the presence of God. It's inseparable. Amen. You dwell continually where He dwells. You live continually where He lives. You are moving to your class, but you are still in communion with Him. You are having tutorials, but you are still in communion with Him. You are watching Nigeria. I know Nigeria is playing final today, Abi, under 17. You are watching that match maybe at Upper Battery, because that's the only place you have the chance to watch it amidst unbelievers, but you are still in communion with Him. Amen. Even because of that loose touch, and begin to just, you know, there is tendency for the mouth to always want to run in such gatherings. I begin to say all sorts of things. Why? Because actually there is still a weak somewhere in the heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The kind of words you speak is based on the kind of heart you have. Amen. That's why we're trusting God for that breaking. Amen. Yes. And I pray the Lord will break us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, I want you to write down a song. I'll teach us a song shortly, and we'll sing it together. It's very short. It says, I won't shape myself. Neither will the world shape me. I start again. I won't shape myself. Neither will the world shape me. It says, potter, shape me. Potter, shape me. Then master, shape me. Start again. I won't shape myself. Neither will the world shape me. Master, shape me. Potter, shape me. Put master first, sorry. Master, shape me. Then next line, potter, shape me. Then the last line, I remain in your hands, master potter. I remain in your hands, master potter. Twice. I remain in your hands, master potter. Twice. I'll take it from the beginning again. I won't shape myself, neither will the world shape me. Master, shape me. Potter, shape me. I remain in your hands, master potter. Twice. How many of us know the song? Interesting. Very good. So we want to do special number. Let's rise to our feet. I need backups. So we learn it line by line, and we sing, and then we'll pray. I believe you've been blessed here today. Some people are standing up as if they are tired. You are tired by, you know, is it okay? It's you. Or maybe, hallelujah. Stand up as a soldier. Stand up like a Gideon's army. Let me just chip in something about the Gideon's army. You know, the test that Gideon gave to know the final people that would represent God in that battle, he said he took them to a river to drink. That was the song, knelt down and they drank, as in of nearly one perhaps. But the others, they just lapped the water with their tongue like a dog. And he said those ones are qualified. You know why? It's because those people, you know, Gideon has so influenced them to a point whereby they are so much more interested in the battle than water. We'll come back to drink the water when we do so. Amen. We'll come back to feast when we have actually gotten the victory. We will not be distracted by some irrelevances until we have laid hold on that God that apprehended us, and we are chasing him to apprehend him as well. And that is what God is trusting you for. So you are an army, you are a soldier, you are an army. Amen. So back to the song. Amen. Let me first of all try to sing it through, and then we'll take it line by line. It's very simple. It says, I won't shape myself, neither will the world shape me. Master, shape me. Potter, shape me. I remain in your hands, Master Potter. Oh, I remain in your hands, Master Potter. I won't shape myself. I won't shape myself, neither will the world shape me. Oh, fast learners, that's great. Oh, Master, shape me. Potter, shape me. Potter, shape me. I remain in your hands, Master Potter. Oh, I remain in your hands, I remain, Master Potter. Let's begin again. I won't shape myself, neither will the world shape me. Oh, you are the Master Potter. Master shape me. Oh, Potter shape me. I remain in your hands, Master Potter. I remain in your hands, Lord, Master. Now put meaning in what you are saying. Try to picture the lyrics and see God move through you. I won't shape myself. The world cannot shape you. It's only God that can shape you to make what he wants out of you, to break your picture and remold you to what he has in mind, to have you become conformed to his own image by a constant renewing of your mind, taking every contrary thought captive to the obedience of that Master, because his standards stand sure. Oh, I remain in your hands, Master Potter. I won't shape myself. The world will not shape me, color. Oh, Master, I come to you. I want you to shape me, Lord. You are the Master Potter. Please shape me, Lord. I remain in your hands, in your hands, Master Potter. I remain in your